All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Mary J. Sholin presiding. All those who have business before this court, draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Judge Sholin. To my right is Judge Bartley. To my left is Judge Meredith. We're here today to hear the case of Harold L. Roby Jr. versus Robert L. Wilkie, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, docket number 17-0528. We're honored to have members of disability attorneys from the Army, Navy, and Coast Guard with us today. Thank you. Welcome. Would counsel for each party please note your appearance for the record?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Ronald Smith, representing Mr. Roby, and with me at counsel table today, I'm pleased to introduce Mr. Charles Collins Chase, who is making his first appearance before this court, but not his first appearance in court.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Robert Schneider on behalf of the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, along with Nicole Cottle, Deputy Chief Counsel.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. I would like to reserve 10 minutes.
Thank you. You may proceed when you're ready.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Briefly stated, the Board of Veterans Appeals denied Mr. Roby's claim to a 50% rating for accolation. Now, before going further, I'd like to say that Mr. Roby concedes that he is not entitled to a 50% rating before May of 2014. The evidence in this case does not support such an increase. The relevant facts are that in May of 2014, Mr. Roby testified under oath that he would eat applesauce, yogurt, and baby food for breakfast. All of those are liquids. They have different viscosities, but they are all liquids. In the evening, he would also eat chicken, and the record shows that that chicken had to be either cut into dime-sized pieces or ground up. At lunch, he would have half a sandwich. Once again, it had to be cut into small pieces. The record also establishes they had to extensively chew his food until it was a liquid consistency. Now the regulation, 7203, consists, the rating provisions for 50% rating consist of four words, severe, comma, permitting liquids only. The Board of Veterans Appeals noted the veteran's testimony that he had to extensively chew his food to a liquid consistency. Nonetheless, it concluded that he did not qualify for the 50% rating. The only conclusion, reasonable conclusion, that can be reached based on the evidence before the court is that everything that he swallowed was liquid. Remember, 7203, esophagus constriction of. There is no word in this very brief regulation that says or even remotely suggests that food must be a liquid or a liquid consistency when placed in the mouth. It's the stricture of the esophagus that for which the VA grants compensation to Mr. Roby.
So what is the definition of liquid that you're using? And second question, would you agree with the Secretary's definition that's that we have in his brief, substance that flows freely but of constant, you know, the one I'm talking about, the one that the Secretary quoted from Webster's or something like that?
Sure. The definitions I have were liquid, a substance that flows readily in its natural state, flowing readily, neither solid nor gaseous.
And that seems a little bit different from the one the Secretary quoted, or did you get that from?
No. That's, I got that from Webster's Income.
Oh, okay, okay. And I think that the secretary quoted Oxford, I believe, to the effect that it's a substance that flows freely but is of constant volume, having consistency like that of oil or water.
Right. Please let me correct myself. That was the second definition. That one comes from Dorland's Medical Dictionary. The Webster's Dictionary, a fluid as water that has no independent shape but has a definite volume and does not expand indefinitely and is only slightly compressible. Liquids, for example, water, can flow very easily indeed. Other liquids are very thick. For example, there's heavy motor oil that flows much more slowly. We've been watching the news for months now, and we watch the magma out of the Kilauea volcano flow extremely slowly. It is nonetheless a liquid. And so we assert that when food is placed in the mouth, and the evidence suggests the veteran chews this food for, he reported, 10 to 15 minutes.
Now, each bite.
I've been standing here at the lectern for almost 5 minutes. That alone is an extraordinary, extraordinary amount of time to chew food. Further, I think the court can take judicial notice of the fact that when a human being chews food, saliva is added to the food, and it becomes more and more fluid. The only conclusion I can reach with respect to the board's decision is that the board concluded that the food must be liquid when placed in the mouth. So the dime-sized pieces of chicken or sandwich or the ground chicken that the veteran put in his mouth were not liquid at the time placed in the mouth, and therefore under the regulation he did not qualify.
So are you, I'm sorry not to interrupt, but are you saying that the applesauce and baby food are also liquid?
Absolutely, and so is the yogurt. They flow.
What about the mashed potatoes?
The mashed potatoes, I submit, if you take a serving of mashed potatoes and just let it sit, it will eventually compress down a little bit. If you put it at a 45 degree angle, it will flow naturally. If you put it in your mouth and mix it with saliva, it certainly flows.
And do you believe that these items that you're talking about, that he ate and chewed well, very well, if he chewed each bite for 10 to 15 minutes, that they would have a consistency like that of oil or water, or would there nevertheless be solids, well-chewed solids, suspended in a liquid?
If he were to chew that food, and let's take a low number, 5 to 10 minutes, he said 10 to 15, and it's mixed, it's being chewed up and the particles are smaller and smaller, and mixed with saliva, it's getting more and more fluid, and he were to expel it, it would flow.
Spit it out into a cup and then try and turn it over. That's your.
One of your arguments was that the board should have more fulsomely applied 4.7. Are you still asserting that argument, or are you such that his rating is closer to the 50%, or are you asserting that he actually meets the 50% and the board didn't really need to consider 4.7 anymore?
Our primary argument is the one I just discussed. Mm-hmm. He meets the criteria, and the board denied it based on a misinterpretation of the meaning of the regulation. With respect to 4.7, we don't know what moderate means, but prior to May of 2014, he was rated moderate afterwards also, but we admit he was previously rated moderate. The evidence says, in fact, that the severity of his disability increased. We don't know what moderate means. We don't know what this regulation means if, as the board and the VA assert, that this is ambiguous. And the board says, well, we considered it, and it does it more closely approximate. I can't tell, and I submit the court cannot tell, what the basis of that holding, what that statement is.
If we were to agree with the secretary that his interpretation that liquid means water-like substances as opposed to your broader definition, would you assert that your client is closer to the 50% rating under a 4.7 application, or would you concede that he was still moderate? And
well, the argument, Your Honor, would be that the other foods that he eats, aside from the chicken, ground chicken, and the sandwich cut into dime-sized bites, are all clearly liquids. So
well, not according to the secretary's interpretation, right? Because he's saying that these other things are purees or semi-solid or something. So I'm just hypothetically saying if liquid means water, broth, whatever, then the fact that he consumes these other foods as well, in theory, anything but a soup, he's not on a liquid diet under the secretary's view. So would that be closer to the 50% rating or closer to moderate?
Closer to 50%, and I submit that this panel is bound by the prior precedents of this court. And the court has held that where a term is not defined in VA regulations, it gets its ordinary meaning. Now, if there is an ordinary meaning different from the ones that the secretary and we have both submitted that suggests that a substance that will flow, however slowly, is in fact a solid and not a liquid, then we lose. But there is no such definition. The definitions the court has support our position.
Well, I mean, the secretary's definition and the two that you gave me when you started seem to have three parts. I think only two of which are relevant here. The first one, under the secretary's definition, is substance that flows. So that's the one you're referencing. If he spit whatever he chewed really well out into a cup, it would actually flow out if you turned the cup upside down. Then the second part of it, but is of constant volume, I think that's not relevant here because it seems to be comparing it to gas or something like that, and we're really comparing like solid to liquid. But having consistency like that of oil or water, why is the substance that you're talking about that enters his esophagus that has, do you concede that it has some solid particles?
When you get to the
suspended in saliva?
When you get to the molecular level, it has some solid particles.
Okay, so would you believe, talk to me about whether he meets this third requirement in the secretary's definition, which is a consistency like that of oil or water. You know, meaning like you put your hands in it and you're not touching any solids. The consistency is uniform?
If the definition of liquid is limited to that, then the definition excludes a huge number of liquids that flow from the definition. And I don't think there's any evidence supported by the language of the regulation for that definition. The definition should be nothing more than what the dictionary says, and that is that it flows, and if it flows slowly, it simply has a higher viscosity.
Just clarify for me, because in your briefing, I think you said that the regulation was clear on its face and not ambiguous. Is the word liquid itself ambiguous or not, in your view?
It is not.
No.
As the court has held, we give the word its ordinary meaning, and the court should look to the dictionary to see what it says. Now, the government argues that I think the government's brief is not entirely clear on the subject. He begins by saying that the regulation is unambiguous, but then goes on to say, seems to say, that the board is correct that the parties disagree as to whether the food must be liquid when it's placed in the mouth. I think a fair reading of the board decision is that the board agrees with the secretary's later position that unless it's liquid when it goes in the mouth, then the veteran does not qualify under the regulation. My problem is, and I submit it as a problem for the court to resolve, the regulation simply does not support such an interpretation.
And where are you finding that interpretation in the board decision?
It's implicit. They say, they recognize in the facts that they recite that the veteran has to chew food to a liquid consistency. But in its analysis, the board never addresses that fact in reaching its conclusion. So we know that it's a liquid consistency when swallowed, when it goes down in the esophagus. So if the board denies the claim, it can only be based on the fact that the food was in a solid state when placed in the mouth. Now, I believe the court could reasonably conclude that the board decision is ambiguous on this point, but I don't see another interpretation.
In another section of the Diagnostic Code 9905, that relates to mandibular disorders, there's discussion about mechanically altered foods as those altered by blending, chopping, grinding, or mashing, such that they are easy to chew and swallow. And then it says full liquid, comma, puree, comma, soft, comma, and semi-solid foods. So can we take anything from the fact that elsewhere in the diagnostic code, VA has classified food with a consistency continuum, she'll call it?
I would submit that it would be inappropriate to import from other parts of the regulations something that to explain what the secretary did in this regulation. Now, if there were regulatory history which suggested that both of those regulations were founded on the same analysis, that would be different. There is no such legislative history.
Well, what about the canon of construction that we're supposed to construe similar words similarly?
I think that's a fair point. I had not considered that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you can construe the word liquid in this regulation. What the government is essentially asking the court to do, and Your Honor, what you're basically suggesting, is that the court will amend the regulation. And I submit that under the law adopted by this court, you should look to the four corners of the regulation, apply the decided cases, stare decisis, and conclude that there's nothing here, and the board offers nothing in its decision to support the proposition that food must be liquid and placed in the mouth.
Can I ask you, is there any evidence in the record, medical, scientific treatises, that demonstrates that an individual can chew a solid food like chicken until it becomes an actual liquid? Or are you relying solely on the appellant's statements that he can chew something until it becomes a liquid consistency?
I found no evidence in the record other than the veteran's response to a question at his hearing before the board, where he said yes, that he would chew his food to a liquid consistency.
So are you equating those terms, liquid consistency and liquid?
There's no difference. The government says, well, wait a minute, liquid consistency, that's entirely different. Water has a liquid consistency. Molten lava has a liquid consistency. Consistency, I can't assign any particular meaning to consistency to modify liquid.
So if I understand correctly, you want us to read the words in the regulation, liquids only, as essentially including thoroughly chewed solid foods. Is that accurate?
I think that's what the regulation means. What I think the board did, and of course the court is reviewing the board decision, is we assert it applied an implicit interpretation of the regulation. There is no explanation in the board's decision for that implicit interpretation.
But you just answered yes to Judge Meredith when she said this liquid means thoroughly chewed solid foods. But then in response to me, and I think in your briefs earlier, in your briefs, you say that the solid food was actually liquefied. So did he just thoroughly chew solid food, or did he liquefy solid food by chewing it?
I'm not sure there's a difference okay. between okay. chewing food to a liquid state and liquefying it by chewing. I think those are terms, different terms for the same thing.
Okay.
If we do not agree with you that mashed potatoes and applesauce and other soft foods equate to a liquid, is there any evidence that this appellant, or are you contending that this appellant needs to chew those type of foods until they become a liquid?
No,
if that's possible.
Right, the answer is no. I don't think there's any evidence that he has to chew applesauce.
Dawn, please add a minute.
Judge Meredith asked you before, do you have any medical authority in the record that you can chew a solid food into a liquid?
Medical authority? No, Your Honor.
And does the vet, the secretary seems to be saying in his briefing that you need that. Do you think that this is something that under Jandro, that you need medical authority for, or is this something we should take the veteran's lay statements about?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. Lay evidence is competent to assert that fact, and there is nothing in the record, even on his subsequent examinations. He was examined after he made that assertion in May. He was examined in September. There's nothing in that report that contradicts his assertion.
But the board didn't find him credible or not on this particular issue?
No, the board did not address his credibility. However, the presumption is, according to the court's case law, that veterans are competent to report things they can divine with their five senses, which is what we have here.
Dawn, please add another minute.
Can I ask a somewhat unrelated question? In your opening brief, you had argued that the board lacked jurisdiction to address this regulation in the first instance or its interpretation. Are you continuing to make that argument?
Absolutely. The Secretary of Veterans Affairs has assigned to his general counsel the exclusive obligation to interpret ambiguities in its regulations, and to do that through a precedent opinion that would make it applicable to all cases. And nobody has requested any such thing. There's been no, as far as I know, assertion that the regulation is ambiguous until this case came to the court. And neither the regional office nor the VA general counsel can interpret that. General counsel can't do it in a brief to this court. That amounts to post hoc rationalization.
Excuse me, you could add another 2 minutes.
Are you familiar with 38 CFR 19.9 D2 specifically, which says essentially that the board does not need to remand a case in order to consider a regulation that wasn't considered by the agency of original jurisdiction?
Yes, I am. And no, they don't have to. If there's a regulation that simply wasn't considered and they believe it's important and they want to send it back, they have the authority and the jurisdiction to do that. But what they can't do is decide that that regulation is ambiguous, do it in the first instance, apply their interpretation, and deny the case because they don't have the authority to do that.
What language in the board decision do you read as saying that the regulation is ambiguous?
I assert that it is an implicit interpretation, that the board decision can be interpreted in no way other than that the board believed food must be in a liquid state when it enters the mouth. And there's nothing in the regulation that supports that.
Do you need more time? Okay. Judge Bartley?
Well, and...
Wait, Dawn, can you please... Thank you.
And unfortunately, I find that I don't have the record with me. But I had tabbed the page in the record that the secretary referred to in his brief, where he said that basically the RO in that, I think it was an SSOC, it might have been an SSC, I don't think it was the rating decision, where the VA had made an interpretation similar to what the implicit determination that the board made here as to the interpretation of the regulation. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, if this by the VA was by any organization within the VA other than the VA General Counsel in a precedent or conclusive opinion, it doesn't satisfy the requirements, which the secretary set out in, I think it's 15502, something like that, giving the general counsel the exclusive authority to interpret ambiguous provisions in VA regulations.
But the secretary here didn't argue that there was any ambiguity. He seemed to be saying, I thought he started right off by saying the regulation's clear, liquid is clear. He doesn't seem to challenge your, at least he didn't to me, seem to challenge your view of that the whole framework here is as to the esophagus and not as to entering the mouth.
On page 11 of the secretary's brief, the point heading reads, the board properly applied DC 7203, the language of which is clear on its face and not ambiguous. At the concluding sentence of the first paragraph under that heading reads, where the secretary and the appellant disagree is his contention that no part of the regulation requires that food be in a solid consistency when it enters the veteran's mouth. So first he says it's unambiguous, and we say it's unambiguous, it has to be liquid when it's swallowed, and he says, it, like the board, it has to be liquid when it goes in the veteran's mouth. That's a little bit inconsistent.
Good, thank you.
You sure?
I think this time we're sure. Mr. Schneider, when you're ready, you may proceed, and you may have additional time if necessary.
Good morning once again, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Diagnostic Code 7203, in particular the criteria as it relates to the 30% and 50% disability rates, are clear on its face. Specifically, that diagnostic code, which pertains to the stricture of the esophagus, allows for a 30% disability rating with a moderate level of stricture and a 50% disability rating for a severe level characterized by permitting liquids only. Secretary contends that the phrase permitting liquids only is clear on its face and means exactly what it states. That a 50% disability rating is warranted when a claimant is only able to swallow liquids. In denying appellant entitlement to a disability rating in excess of 30% under Diagnostic Code 7203, the board found that appellant's achalasia was not so severe as to permit liquids only, and concluded that therefore the criteria for a disability rating in excess of 30% had not been met. There's a plausible basis in the record for the board's determination. For instance, Your Honors, in April 2013, and this is record at 1425, appellant reported that he had dysphagia 3 times a week to solids slightly greater than liquids, and specifically indicated that he did not limit foods. During the May 2014 board hearing, appellant noted that he ate mashed potatoes and chicken and tried to eat applesauce or baby food, or else he needed to chew this more thoroughly. And Your Honors, in response to the liquid consistency testimony, he later indicated in record at 14 that I have to chew so much, otherwise it gets stuck. I don't know, I eat mashed potatoes. I do eat chicken and stuff, but I chew it so much that it's really ground up. The concept of liquid consistency, I think, was ultimately unexpectedly misleading. As discussed previously, the Secretary's definition of liquid reflects that it includes the idea of a consistency to it. So while liquid and liquid consistency appear to actually be liquid consistency being the same thing as liquid, appellant specifically notes that he has to chew it up so that it's really ground up, which suggests that it's not actually liquid, even in this approaching of liquid consistency. Furthermore, in September 2014, record at 68, during a VA examination, appellant reported that he ate half of a sandwich for lunch at a typical dinner would constitute chicken, and then he volunteered, and this is mostly quoting but somewhat paraphrasing, volunteered the fact that he now understands that although his symptoms seemed severe to him, that the rating criteria for severity was based on a different criteria, such as whether he can pass solids at all. This evidence provides a plausible basis for the board's determination that the preponderance of the evidence was against entitlement to a disability rating in excess of 30% for his service-connected aphasia.
What does moderate mean under the regulation?
Your Honor, moderate, as I understand it, is somewhere average, so not mild, not severe. And looking at moderate in isolation, that would result in more of an ambiguous language, we would concede. But looking at the specific case here, and then looking at the 30% versus the 50%, which is what we have, appellant, we concede it has something that is a moderate condition. The only question is whether or not he has a severe condition, and that language is further clarified as permitting liquids only. So we would contend that it's clear on its face, and I apologize if the Secretary's brief was not clear in that regard. Any interpretation that was advanced was an in the alternative argument. Whether, if you disagree with our position that it is clear on its face, then we reach this interpretation, which we believe will result in the same result, which is that the board's decision was plausible.
Well, going to the appellant's argument regarding 4.7, if we don't know what moderate criteria really is, we can presume it means some difficulty swallowing foods, but we don't know how much difficulty. And the fact that he has to eat basically pureed foods and has to chew foods so significantly that he equates them to liquid, why would that not be closer to severe, even if not actually meeting the criteria of severe, than somebody who has some difficulty eating food?
Your Honors, in looking at the specific regulation and in looking at 4.7, the question is whether or not there's a question as to two evaluations. And 4.7 would be more applicable in certain instances than in others. When we're talking about if it was just moderate versus severe, I don't think I can respond that it's not ambiguous, and I don't think that I can respond that 4.7 doesn't push it to closer. But certain diagnostic codes also have very clear levels. For instance, with range of motion, if we're talking about 90 degrees it needs to reach, we wouldn't say, well, 89 is close enough, or 91, depending on which range of motion we're talking about. It has to reach that specific level.
So you're saying 4.7 doesn't apply to diagnostic codes that have explicit criteria?
No, Your Honor. We're saying that it won't be applied in the exact same fashion for every single diagnostic code. Depending on how the diagnostic code is written, there will be a question as to which of two evaluations should be applied. As the diagnostic code is written and as the case is before us today, we have the 30% rating. The question is whether or not do we meet liquids only. Our response is that we do not.
Well, isn't there an alternate question of isn't he close enough to meeting liquids only, such that 4.7 might apply?
Certainly there could be that question. We would contend that he doesn't meet that, and that really in this specific instance, when we're dealing with something so finite, so clear as to whether or not it's liquid or not, he hasn't met that.
So your criteria for when 4.7 applies is based on clarity?
No, Your Honors. As it relates to this case, we are contending that there really is ultimately no question as to which of the two evaluations to apply. He hasn't met that criteria, therefore it's not a question that needs to be reached in this case.
I don't know that I understand your response, because if I don't know how 4.7 applies, I don't know that I can determine whether the board has applied it correctly. So just saying in this case it's not close enough, I'm sorry, doesn't help me understand a broader policy perspective.
Certainly, Your Honor, and I apologize if I'm not being clear on this point. Ultimately, 4.7 will assist us when there's questions as to which to apply. And the next part of that is the higher evaluation will be assigned if the disability picture more nearly approximates the criteria required for that rating. And we would contend that in this specific question, whether or not something more closely approximates a liquid or hasn't more closely approximated a liquid is more of a finite question and clearly hasn't met in the secretary's interpretation or in the secretary's position, he hasn't met that 50% disability rating. To allow the question to therefore lead to whether one individual has chewed it more thoroughly than another will open up a lot more difficulty, I think, in consistently applying this diagnostic code. All I can state is that as it relates to the current circumstance, we have a moderate disability that has been conceded. And the question then becomes whether or not he has established entitlement to that 50% disability rating, which has been clarified or characterized as permitting liquids only. And it would be our contention that he has not done so.
As to the question that the appellant raises about the meaning of permitting liquids only and the 80% permitting passage of liquids only. So on this question of whether this diagnostic code in those two evaluation levels is talking about permitting passage, you know, into the mouth of liquids only, or is it into the esophagus? And I think I indicated to the appellant during questioning that it was my sense from your brief that you were actually conceding that it's the form of the substance when it's entering the esophagus that is the key point here, and what it looks like when it enters the mouth is not at issue in this regulation.
Yes, Your Honor, we would concede that it is the esophagus, not the mouth. However, there is, to expand on that, we would also contend that in the vast majority of cases, whether or not it's the mouth or the esophagus will make no difference. There won't be a change. And I think ultimately what this case boils down to is whether or not an individual can turn a substance like chicken that's a solid into a liquid. So ultimately, if an individual is going to put a liquid into their mouth, obviously when it reaches the esophagus, it will also be a liquid. When an individual puts a solid, and I'll include parenthetically a non-liquid, and specifically to this case chicken, into their mouth, it will reach the esophagus in a chewed solid, again parenthetically non-liquid, and again, just specific for this case, it will be chewed chicken. And I think ultimately the very rare circumstance where that wouldn't be the case isn't implicated in the present case. For instance, if you were to put a solid ice in your mouth and you just let it sit there, it would be a liquid. Clearly, we wouldn't get up here and say, well, it was a solid when it entered the mouth, and therefore, even though it was a liquid when it entered the esophagus, it hasn't met the regulation.
I tried this with chocolate, by the way, and it melted in my mouth.
Yes, right. Absolutely. There are several things that will. We believe that the ultimate question is whether or not you can turn chicken into a liquid.
Did the board make any findings as to whether this particular appellant can chew a chicken until it becomes a liquid, or whether or not doing so would satisfy this diagnostic code?
No, Your Honor, I don't think the board ultimately interpreted it. I think they looked at it as plain on its face, and we share that view that permitting liquids only is fairly clear, and the concept of liquid, we believe, is something that the court, should it be needed, can take judicial notice of as a basic founding block of physics or nutrition or science in general. And we believe that the ultimate concept is that an individual cannot turn chicken, no matter how much they chew, it will never reach what we believe to be the definition of liquid. And this constant volume, in terms of the applesauce, whether or not that is a liquid, we wouldn't concede that it is. And frankly, as odd as it is, it could depend on the applesauce in question. The same is true with yogurt. If there's solids mixed into it, I don't think you can say that that's a liquid on its face.
Well, yogurt doesn't have solids mixed into it.
Some do.
Oh, you mean if there's like fruit, some addition.
Yes,
but what about
exactly.
Like pure, plain, what do they call it?
Plain
unsweetened
milk.
Yogurt.
Right.
Yeah.
obviously, that's not what we have presently before the case. I would hesitate to say one yogurt is a liquid and one isn't without looking at it a little bit more closely, getting to that consistency of water and oil, which notwithstanding the fact that it might be more constant in volume, I have trouble saying that it's that same consistency. But ultimately it would also depend on, in this hypothetical board decision, how the board dealt with that question and whether or not there was a reasonable basis for the manner in which it did so prior to saying what the secretary's position would be in that example.
Other than the arguments you've made in your brief and that oral argument about how you interpret this diagnostic code, do you have anything else to suggest this is how VA interprets diagnostic code 7203? Anything else that would inform VA views liquids only in this context?
Your Honor, we don't have, or I was unable to find any legislative history when it was first enacted. And I believe it's the exact same, or rather, I don't believe it is the exact same language as utilized in the 1945 schedule, which means we have approximately 75 years where this question as to what a liquid means was never implicated. There was no confusion as to what it would be. But there has, as far as I'm aware, there's no final rules that have been promulgated that would allow us to state VA's very clear interpretation. But we look at this as being clear on its face, and not just from the language of liquid, but just in thinking about it a little bit more and to kind of return to the hypothetical with the ice. If you were to put a piece of ice in your mouth and let it melt, then it's a liquid. But as a child, when I would do that, sometimes I wouldn't have the patience and I would chew it. And so I would swallow it before chewing. It's a terrible habit, and I'm trying to make sure that my children don't have that. But in swallowing chewed ice, that's akin to what we have here, which is a chewed solid. And that's what I did back then. I wouldn't say that fit the category as to permitting liquids only. It doesn't matter when it's the mouth generally or the esophagus. And again, in the vast majority of instances, that question wouldn't necessarily come up.
I mean, you're trying to create sort of a factual determination of some yogurt might be liquid, some applesauce might be liquid, some others are solid. Is that, no matter what, the consistency of those foods is different than something that is like water or oil in the definition you proffered. So I'm a little confused by what you're asserting now is a liquid. I understand the ice chocolate, which is my preferred example, but I don't understand how yogurt, other than the whey that sits on the top after it separates, could ever be liquid.
Well, Your Honor, I'm not stating that it would be liquid. I believe it was Helen Moore, in support of his argument as to what he's able to eat, was using that.
Well, I thought you were saying some yogurts could be, or some applesauce dependent on the applesauce,
Your Honor,
could be.
Yes, Your Honor, I don't believe that is the case. I think by definition, yogurt, applesauce, and even baby food would not fit the specific definition of what a liquid is. Again, if that's all we were dealing with in this present case, I think it would have been much harder, perhaps, to defend this hypothetical board's decision that was trying to split hairs as to what equals a liquid, and I think in that instance would get us into a more concerning problem with regards to 4.7, but that's not what we have here. We have a chewed solid, and we do not believe that an individual can turn a solid, and in particular a solid like chicken, into a liquid as contemplated by Diagnostic Code 7203, which really ultimately is looking at what substances an individual can swallow. And in drafting it is liquids only. It is not puree, it is presently not soft solids, it is liquids. And we do not believe that the facts of this case approach that question at all.
So do you think, could a solid like chicken ever be liquefied through a process other than chewing?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that. I know with chewing, I feel very comfortable saying no. With regards to turning it into a puree versus putting it into a juicer, I even the concept is something I don't even want to think about generally. But I'm hesitant to make that statement, and luckily, I don't think we need to persuasively argue that the board's decision was adequate and should be affirmed. I am unaware of a manner that, that an individual can turn chicken into a liquid, even pureeing it. And I don't think it meets that definition. And just to reiterate, we believe that ultimately everything's boiled down to whether or not one can turn a solid like chicken into a liquid. And I don't believe that appellant has provided any evidence, medical treatise, or otherwise to support such a concept, and the secretary was unable to find that. What we did find, we included in our brief on the NIH.gov website dealing with dysphagia, it has that section that we highlighted with how we swallow. And I talk about it generally, individuals do not swallow solids, and the exception to that rule would be pills. Everything else, either a liquid, a puree, or a chewed solid. And so in that sentence, I think ultimately gives us that answer, which is a puree wouldn't equal a liquid. And as the court talked about the diagnostic code elsewhere in the rating schedule, it creates that distinction between a puree and a liquid.
Well, I did swallow gum when the nuns would come along in Catholic school. But is this whether a certain kind of food could be a liquid or could become a liquid, would that be a factual determination? And if so, is that something that we can be doing here if the board didn't explicitly say this is only a liquid or this is not a liquid?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that is a factual determination, and ultimately to the extent that the court need to, I think judicial notice could be utilized to make that determination. But yes, the board ultimately, or I'm sorry, the question of whether or not an individual can turn something from a solid to a liquid, that would be the factual determination.
But you're not saying that the NIH excerpt that you quoted from is authority for that, are you? Because it didn't seem to go to the question of whether you can turn something, whether you can liquefy something with your teeth.
No, Your Honor, we are not saying that is something that the court needs to necessarily defer to. We're using that as further proof that this is not the secretary getting up in front of the court right now and trying to advance something with no support whatsoever. We believe that it's clear on its face, liquid is a liquid, a chewed solid is a non-liquid. And then in support of such a, and I want to use the word interpretation, I'll say position, we utilize what we found fairly quickly online to support that concept.
Well, you just raised something that I hadn't thought of, because what has been bothering me is that whether I think of a something that's very well masticated into tiny particles within a saliva base
solution
is a liquid or a solid, that seems to depend on the framework. Like, are we talking about liquid versus solid? But you just mentioned liquid versus non-liquid. Like, what? Then there's a framework that we, you know, there's no indication that such framework is used here, but there is the framework of like liquid puree, soft, semi-soft, solid, like a broader array of choices. What's the framework here? Like, it's liquid versus what? Because whenever I think of the spit out, you know, very finely chewed particles, I have to say that it does flow. You know what I mean? Like, if you spit into a cup and you turned it over, it would flow. And so it seemingly would have at least that characteristic more in common with the liquid than a solid, if liquid versus solid is the framework.
Yes, Your Honor. And we believe by using the term liquid and liquids only, it's there. It's clear on its face that anything that's not a liquid, that's the more appropriate analysis. It's not a chewed solid. Was it chewed enough? Is it a liquid or is it a non-liquid? That would include solids. It obviously would include other things like plasma and gas. Those aren't implicated here.
And you would admit that the non-liquid that you're talking about, which is the very finely chewed particles in a saliva base, is a substance that would flow. Do you agree with that? But yes?
Yes, Your Honor. I presume that every one of us chews their food, and ultimately what that's doing, and I believe we included that definition as well in our brief, it's biting or working food in the mouth with the teeth, especially to make it easier to swallow. We all do that too because you need to. You can't swallow a solid, notwithstanding this NIH.gov that does provide that exception where individuals do, but for the most part, it's either a liquid, a puree, or solid. Secretary has used the word liquid, and almost it's liquid only, which our position is it clearly reflects that a chewed solid is insufficient. And
right.
A chewed solid is ultimately not a, yes, sorry, Your Honor.
Right, but I broke the, whenever I was questioning the appellant, I broke your definition down into three parts. Substance that flows freely.
Yes, Your Honor.
Second is constant volume, which I personally don't think is relevant here unless you explain to me why it is. And then the third one is consistency like that of oil or water. So do you think that the chewed, you know, stuff in saliva, I know it's gross to talk about this, would flow freely? Would you submit that your only problem with this is number three, consistency, or talk to me about that?
No, Your Honor. Well, first, the freely part might be something to dig into. The constant volume, I looked at differently. And when it talked, having the consistency of water and oil, I looked at that as saying it's constant, the matter. So for instance, it's applesauce, I don't believe it's constant in volume, but some aspects are liquid. Or chewing, I guess, let's stick with that. Applesauce is not the only thing we're implicated with. Chewing will not be constant in volume because you'll have these solids that have been chewed, but are still technically non-liquids, and then with your saliva, you'll have these liquid parts. The flows freely could also be a question as to whether or not when you, sorry for doing this, if you pour out after chewing for 15 minutes, there's going to be residuals that aren't liquid there, generally. I'm sorry to say that I tested this hypothesis, and we don't have to get into it, but it seems very clear that the concept of liquid it has a bright line meaning.
I won't ask whether you chewed for 15 minutes.
Your Honor, unfortunately. But yes, ultimately we believe that this chewed solid is not a liquid. And that's why when I was describing it, it was more along the lines of is it a liquid or is it a non-liquid? But that was more of a parenthetical just to say it didn't meet this level.
So if there are three components to the definition of liquid, you're saying that this matter that has been chewed by the veteran here it doesn't meet any of those.
Your Honor, I don't see it meeting any of them, and I believe they would have to meet all three. This last one, though, I think is also a bit misleading. It's really just kind of an example. It's not necessarily a fine line. It has to be water or oil. It's supporting the remainder of the definition, which I think.
The consistency like
yeah,
that.
Yes, Your Honor. Just to make it more of a practical. I wouldn't necessarily have any real idea what a liquid would be if I just looked at those first two. With that having a consistency line, I think it does make it a little bit easier for a leader like myself to know exactly what it may constitute.
Thank you.
Your Honors, if there's no further questions, in sum, because appellant has not established that he is restricted to only ingesting liquids, whether when entering his mouth or whether when entering his esophagus, and in fact, the evidence clearly reflects that he continues to be able to eat solid foods. He has not carried his burden of establishing the existence of error, let alone prejudicial error. In conclusion, Your Honor, based on the discussion before the court today, as well as the analysis contained in the Secretary's brief, we respectfully request that the court affirm the November 17, 2016 decision on appeal. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, you have 10 minutes.
Your Honors, before today's argument, I was under the misimpression that there are only three states of matter, solid, liquid, and gas. We now know there's such a thing as a chewed solid. I disagree with the definition that you just gave, Judge Bartley. Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines liquid as follows: a fluid that has no independent shape. A solid will sit here and hold its shape. This is a solid. It doesn't flow. Now, if the secretary believes that you can take ground chicken, mix it with saliva, chew it for 10 minutes, I don't believe I've ever chewed anything for 10 minutes, expel it and put it here, and it has an independent shape, I don't think that's worthy of belief. That's simply not correct. That has no independent shape. Now, with respect to whether this fall, this, the veteran's disability falls between moderate and severe. We don't know what moderate means, and we know that it is somewhere, according to the secretary, between mild and severe. In the absence of more information than that, a better definition, it's impossible for me to conclude that the board was correct in asserting that veterans' disability does not more nearly approximate severe. This is particularly true in light of the evidence, the finding, the adjudication by the Department of Veterans Affairs prior to 2014 that his disability was moderate. And the evidence establishes that from May 2014 forward, it was more severe, more disabling. So the board's recitation of the facts, followed by what I believe was a two-sentence conclusion with essentially no analysis, that the severity does not more closely approximate severe, is not worthy of an affirmance by this court. Unless the board has more questions.
No, thank you very much. The case will be submitted for decision. The court is now adjourned. We will come down and greet counsel.
All rise.